Everybody, Exodus, or Deuteronomy, I mean. Deuteronomy 30. Did I say Exodus? Well, I apologize. I've said the wrong thing before. Deuteronomy 30, but before I get there, I'm going to read over Deuteronomy 29 some. You don't need to go there. I'll read it for you. And then I'll catch up with you in 30. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do, that thou shouldest enter into the covenant with the Lord thy God and into his oath, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, that he may be unto thee a God. And he has said unto thee, and as he has sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God. Aren't you glad he moved on? Aren't you glad he moved on from Israel to the Gentiles? Not only I make this covenant with the Jew, I'll make it with the Gentile, bless God. And ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, or rejects. You can write in there, if you make note, rejects. When you turn away from someone, you're rejecting who they are and what they're saying. You don't want it. You don't want to hear it. That's the truth of it. So he says, and turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself. That he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace. In other words, you go on and serve the other gods and convince yourself in your own heart that you're going to have peace. Well, I'll tell you what you're going to have, he says. He goes on to say, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imaginations of mine heart. Does anybody have anything to come to mind when you hear that? The imaginations of mine heart. Do you remember when he destroyed the antediluvian world? The reason he destroyed them was that the imaginations of their heart were evil continually. Well, if you don't see us heading there, folks, I can't help you. If you don't see this world on a mad dash to that, I can't help you. I'm not talking about riots and protests and all this stuff, although I am. This world is a mad dash to the evil imaginations of their own heart. They're not going to hear God. They're not going to listen to God. They're turning away from God. Well, he says, let's see how that works out for you. Though I walk in the imagination of my heart to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him. Go ahead. Go ahead and just talk yourself right on into it. Go ahead and deceive yourself. Go ahead and tell yourself that you're going to know peace, that you're okay. I won't spare you. That's what God says, folks. Listen, if you've got a lost loved one, we got to tell them God's not going to spare you if you reject him, if you turn from him, if you won't listen to him, if you won't come to him. He won't spare you. It's just that simple. So he comes on over to 30 with that being said. And he says this, and it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse. You're going to get one or the other. I've told you that more times. Listen, if you can understand that there is two ways, there's a blessing and there's a cursing, you'll understand this book, folks. It won't get complicated to you. It's either about the curse or the blessing. One or the other. A straight gate. and a narrow way, or a wide gate and a broad way. It's one or the other. It's your heart or his heart. It's not complicated. It's not hard. We want to make it hard through religion. That's why we have all these denominations. Denominations have done more harm to this book than anything. Because that one tells you one thing, another tells you another thing. I got to tell you this. Oh, it so goes, and I want you to remember it. It so goes with what I'm going to teach today, and I'm going to do my best. I've got so much in my heart. I was watching this week on Fox, and it was Pete Hegseth. He did a deal on the Holy Land. Did anyone see it? Okay, he was in the Holy Land, and he was in Hebron. Now, you can read in the Bible about Hebron. Hebron's been there for centuries, folks. Still there, by the way. And there's this temple there that Herod made. Anybody ever heard of Herod? Well, you say, well, that's just in the Bible. No, bless God, it's still over there. He made it. And it's a temple for worship. And what they did is they built a wall down the middle of it and put a door there and put a padlock on it. On one side, the Palestinians worship. The children of Ishmael, the sons of Abraham. On the other side, bless God, the Jews worship. The children of Abraham, the children of Isaac. And now they've got a padlocked door. I'm going to tell you what, neither one of them's right. They'll both die lost if they're counting on who their forefathers were. But that's not all. The Christians come there too. Listen, I don't even ask people if they're Christian anymore. We've so perverted a Christian. Anybody can say yes. Because it's, you know, yeah, that's my faith. That's the faith I've chosen. So sad to see where we're at. But folks, it ought to bring joy to our heart that we're not there. We ought to have a peace about us that we're not there. If we're in Christ, we're not there. We don't have a padlocked door between us. He tore down the veil. When Calvary happened, the veil was rent in twain. There's nothing between God and man now. You can come to God directly as long as you come through the D-O-O-R. Not the padlocked door, but the one John 10 says, I am the door. If any man cometh to me, he shall go in and have pasture. But no man cometh to the Father but by me. What's he saying? The Father's on the inside of the door. And I'm the door. And if you're going to get to him, you're coming through me. Or you're not coming. Remember what he said? I won't spare you now. Look, you can go ahead and act like you're worshiping God. File that now. This is going, hey, I'm going to bring it to you now. You can go ahead and say you're worshiping God all you want to. But you're not, because I've said one way to worship me through my son. You either, I don't care where you are in this world. I don't care if you were born there. You know, that's one thing I like about East Tennessee. It's a Bible Belt. But folks, I'm telling you what, the Bible Belt's stretching. It's getting looser. Hey, it's getting looser. It's getting looser. So he says, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among the nations where the Lord thy God hath driven thee. Listen, when you go somewhere else, tell them about the blessing and the cursing. If you've got the blessing when you go somewhere, tell them about it. Huh? That's what he says. Wherever you go. And he says, and wherever you go, if you're under the blessing, I'll reach out and get you. That's what he says. He says, and shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations. Listen, if you'll repent, I'll come get you. I don't care where you're at. We used to sing a song, when he reached down his hand for me. When he reached way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or his son when he reached down his hand for me. Doesn't make any difference where you're at in life. Doesn't make any difference what you've done in life. Doesn't make any difference how many sins you've committed in life. If you will turn to him, he will find you. And he will heal you. And he will save you. And he comes on down there and he says that then the Lord thy God will turn the captivity. If any of thine be driven out unto the uttermost parts of the heavens, from thence will the Lord thy God gather, and from thence will you fetch thee. It doesn't make any difference. If you're as far away as the heavens, you can be on Mars, bless God. If you'll repent, I know where Mars is. I created it. I'll come get you. You say, Tom, ain't nobody on Mars. I just make an example. So y'all don't think I'm nuts. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers, and the Lord thy God will circumcise. Have you noticed all this is about what the Lord thy God will do? All a person has to do is turn to the Lord. And then he says, I'll take over then. I'll circumcise you in heart, he says. You'll possess the land, he says. Where it doesn't matter where you're at, I'll come get you. All you have to do with all, remember he said all your heart, not part of your heart. That's the problem with people today. They want to add Jesus to their life. That's what they want to do. They want to just add Jesus to their life. They want to keep their life, but they want to add Jesus to it. So they think that's going to work for them. No, that won't work for them. He doesn't get added to your life. You get added to his life, or it doesn't work, see? It doesn't work. Now, if you would look at Psalms 37. Anybody remember Psalms 37? There's four things that he talks about in Psalms 37 there as he starts out. He talks about, listen, I'm paraphrasing now. He says, now I don't want you to get all nervous and upset and anxious and nervous and fret about the evildoers. How many of you ever looked at people that just seem like, listen, they don't want to know God, but look how prosperous they are. Look how well off they are. I'll confess to you. You don't have to confess to me. I'm not a priest. I'll confess to you. Well, I've done it. I thought, well, man, that don't seem right. Here I am trying to serve the Lord. They don't even know God. And it looks like they're so prosperous and so well off. But they're not. They're poor. They're impoverished. They're beggarly. They're to be pitied. We're the rich ones. We have all riches. He says, I will supply all your needs according to your riches in glory. No, according to my riches in glory. The earth is the Lord's and the... What does that mean, honey? That means everything in it. It's his. It's his. But I don't want him to give me this world, because he's already promised me another place. That's where I'm headed. That's where I'm going. I don't want to get attached to this world, folks. I just don't want to. So he says, don't worry about that. And then he comes down there and he says, trust in the Lord and do good. And you shall, what?
Dwell in the land.
That's pretty simple, isn't it? Well, he ain't talking about this land. I know he's talking to Israel there in the promised land, right? But folks, the promised land is not this earth here, although it'll be a new earth and we'll dwell on it. But the promised land is that place that is free of sin and sorrow and death. I just attended a funeral this week of a good friend of mine whose son, 35-year-old, committed suicide. He was broken. We'll never know that brokenness in heaven. We'll never know what it's like to just miss someone so bad. That's here. And it ought to lift our hearts to say, I know that's here, but I'm not here. My conversation is there. My life is there. And so he says, trust in the Lord and do good, and so shall you dwell in the land. Delight thyself. Take pleasure. Take pleasure. You know what it means to take pleasure? It means to be at rest and to have a peace about you and a joy. He says, delight thyself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. I waited 35 years for a certain type of car. The Lord finally blessed me with it. But that's not what He's talking about. That was just an extra blessing. What He's talking about is this. If you'll delight in me, I'll put the right desires in there. You won't have to worry about the wrong desires in your heart. I'll put the right ones in there. And then He says this, not only should you trust in Him and delight in Him, He says, commit yourself unto the Lord. Subject yourself, submit yourself, put yourself under Him. That's what the word means. Place yourself under His watchful hands. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust in the Lord, and He will bring it to past. What does He mean, your way? Your life. How you're going to live. How do you want to live in this world? Commit that to Him. And then trust Him with it. That's why He says the two things. Commit yourself to Him. Put yourself underneath Him. And then trust Him. Rest in Him. And guess what? He'll bring it to pass. You won't have to. Look, I've told you my story more times than I can count. I'll tell you one brief thing just so that you know what I'm talking about. I was sitting in the church after I got saved down in Orlando, or Winter Park, actually. It was close to Orlando, but it was in Winter Park, Florida, Winter Park Baptist Church. And I was trying to play professional golf. That was my desire. That's what I wanted. Boy, I mean, I was after it too. I was practicing every day. I was playing every day. I was trying my best to get there. I never will forget it. After the red light event, and you know about the red light. I won't go into that. I was sitting in church, and the lady behind me was an elderly lady, and because at that time I was a young man, 37, so everybody was elderly. Now I'm elderly and everybody's younger. But she said, we're having a garage sale this Saturday. And I said, well, I'm going to come by. I want to help you. I turned back around. And the Lord said, I want you to take the $5. That's all I had. I want you to take the $5 out of your pocket. Turn around and give it to her and tell her you won't be here Saturday. You're going home. Now wait just a second, Lord. I'm down here trying to fulfill my dream. My wife's already given her job up. She's got a job down here with a law firm. Come on now, God, what do you mean? Give her the $5, turn around and say, I won't be here Saturday. You know what I did? I said, ma'am, the Lord just spoke to me and said, I won't be here Saturday. I hope this will help you. I went home. There's my little wife. I said, honey, pack up. We got to go home. You know what she said to me? How did you know? Was you there?
No, you said it. You told it before.
Are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? I gave up my job up there. I said, honey, I know it. But we got to go home. The Lord's told me to go home. We got to go home. So up the road we come. Tears just flowing down her cheeks. She said, what in the world are we going to do? I owed $40,000 to Carter County Bank. $1,500 on the $500 car I was driving. No money. No job. But I had God's word. That's good enough for me. Got home about always between 3 and 4 in the morning to her mother's house. 8 o'clock in the morning. Ring, 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 ring. Hello? Tom, this is Duke Ingram. Hello? Yeah? I've got a job for you. Why don't you come to work for me? I said, how'd you know I was here? He said, I didn't have a clue you was there. I was just told to call. I've got a job for you. It wasn't 30 minutes later. Ring, 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 ring. Brenda? Is that you? And she told what happened. She said, you get down here. I've got to get your job back. She went back to the university where she was a secretary for Tommy Neese. She went from being a secretary to the chairman of the department. I was never late on the $40,000. Never. All you have to do is commit your way to him. Trust him. I mean with your heart. I'm not talking about with your mind. He does amazing things, folks. You couldn't believe how he's blessed me. You wouldn't believe how he's blessed me. All it cost me was $5. For $5. Look what I got. You talk about deals, deals, and steals. You say, Tom, that's you. Well, he's no different with you. You think he treats me different than he does you? You think he loves me more than he does you? We're his children, folks. He just says, look. And then the next thing he says is, now that you're trusting, now that you're delighting, now that you are committing your way, what does it say, honey? Rest. You know, I told him in the morning prayer room, folks, we got to quit coming in here with all this sadness. I know this world, bless God, beating us down, but it ain't beating us down if we're trusting in the Lord. We can come in here with a joy in our heart and a step in our step. Huh? We can come in here and lift our hand up and say, praise God. It might look bad for the world. It's not looking too bad for me. They may give me COVID tomorrow. I may be dead by morning. But I'll tell you one thing. I'll be living in the promised land. Hallelujah. Amen. You say, well, that's some message. Well, that was the message to Israel. That was the message to Israel. Does anybody remember how chapter 9 of Romans, you can turn that now, chapter 10. Do you remember how chapter 9 started out? Anybody remember that? Oh, God, please help me. This is the sorriest bunch I've ever tried to teach. I hope Amy has better success in her classes. Remember, he talked about his burden. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service to God, the ability to worship God, is what it's saying. And all these promises, it was given to them. Well, then why is his heart so heavy? Why is he burdened so much if that's the case? Oh, he says, of whom Jesus came in the flesh, who is above all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. What'd that mean? Driven off course. That's why he's burdened. Bless God, they're trying to say the word of God's going to get driven off course. It's going to change the direction God sent it. Well, he's not going to change the direction. You'll change your direction, or bless God in hell, you lift up your eyes being in torment. Just ask the rich man if you could. He tried to tell his five brethren. They said, no. He got the word. If they won't believe the word, they wouldn't believe me. If I send somebody back from the dead, they still wouldn't believe. So, and it ends up by saying, what's this thing? What is the deal on this thing? It's killing me. He ends up chapter 9 by saying that the Gentiles who did not pursue after righteousness, they found it because they pursued it by faith. But the Jews or Israel who pursued the law of righteousness didn't find it because they did not pursue it by faith. Now, what does it mean by faith? What do you think that means? The Gentiles found it by faith, and the Jews didn't find it by faith. So what do we mean by faith? Okay, trust. Okay, trust in Jesus. Okay, all right. Anybody else want to throw something in? Stacy? No? That's okay. That's okay. Huh? See, now John's good. What a husband. I tell you what, everybody should have a husband like that that sees his wife and says, oh, God, I got to help her. What a husband. Hey, everybody should have a husband like that. Let's say, honey, I'll help you out here. What'd you say? Listen, if what you said is not based on that word, you're trusting in nothing. See, faith is not something you just reach out and get. Faith is based on the word of God. Faith is based on the promise of God, or it's not faith, folks. I mean, if God's not backing up what you're trusting, you're not trusting anything. I mean, I could say it like this. I have faith in Becky. I have faith in Pam. I have faith in Stacy. Well, it's not worth 5 cents. I don't mean that disrespectfully. Stacy could fail me. Pam could fail me. Becky could fail me. And just so you don't think I'm picking on the ladies, I wouldn't have faith in John either. And I wouldn't want you to have faith in me either. Because I can fail you. But boy, I'm going to tell you one thing. You can trust in the Lord. You can delight in the Lord. You can commit your ways unto the Lord. And you can rest in the Lord. Bless God, because he'll never fail you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He's always going to be there for you. And that's why the faith is in him. But they wouldn't do it. It's like that padlock. It made such an impression on me seeing that padlocked door. On one side, the Palestinians. On the other side, the Jews. And they think they're worshiping God. So we come to chapter 10 and he says, my heart's desire. You say, Tom, I guess that's why you read 37. Huh? You think so? My heart's desire. Well, where did he get his heart's desire? Huh? Well, that's what Psalms 37 says, right? Trust in me, commit to me, delight in me, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. So he says, the desire of my heart and my prayer to God is that Israel
be saved.
Huh?
Be saved.
Well, there's a word in there.
Nice.
Might or may. Why does he throw that in there? Huh? Oh, that's exactly why he put it in there, honey. And these people want to change these words around in the Bible. Better be careful. Better be careful. Paul still got the burden because he knows all Israel's not saved. You know how he knew that? Because the Holy Spirit told him. Not that the word of God hath taken none effect, for they that are of Israel are not, they that are in Israel are not of Israel. Or no, they that are of Israel are not all Israel. I'll get it right and I'll get twisted here in a minute. That's why he's burdened. That's why he says, oh, my prayers that they might be saved. He says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal, a fervency, a fire. They're ardent about God. How did he know that? Well, bless God, he was one of them. Huh? Well, when he went to arrest those Christians, he thought he was doing the work of God. He said so. Bless God, he said he's doing the work of God. Killing Christians was the work of God. And he's fired up about it too. He's on his way to get some more when they got him too. But he says, listen, I'll attest to the fact they've got a zeal for God. But boy, here comes the kicker. But not according to what? Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to read real quickly. I've got to hurry. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now that, listen, I didn't bring my own wisdom in here. I didn't bring my own ability to speak in here. I just brought to you God. That's what he's saying. Now this is the same man that was killing him. You know, this is the same man that was persecuting him. This is the same man thought he's doing the work of God at one time. But after the road to Damascus, bless God, now he's doing the work of God. Huh? Now he's doing the work of God. There's a difference, folks. There's a difference. Listen, you can listen. All you have to do is listen to some of these quote-unquote preachers, quote-unquote religious people, some of these quote-unquote theologians. All you have to do is listen to them. They're off course. And they think this book is going to get off course with them, but it's not. So he says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I don't want anything. That's all I want to know. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the capital S, the Holy Spirit, and of power, that your faith should not stand. Wasn't that just what I said? Wasn't that just what I said? If you put your faith in men, well, you're a fool. If you put your faith in people who are silver-tongued with enticing words, you're a fool. I say that with respect to all fools, too. Howbeit we speak wisdom. Now, why does he, boy, that's sort of braggadocious, isn't it? You're stupid, but we speak wisdom? Well, no. He can say that because he's done said, I'm speaking of the wisdom of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That's where my wisdom comes from. This is not my wisdom. I,